Well, welcome everybody. This is Crystalia, and I am really excited to introduce you to my special guest, Dr. Michael Cotton, who will be talking about how studies show that 90% of doctor visits are stress-related. It's a primary reason that we are, the primary reason we are living a life dictated by our primitive survival lower brain, the one that keeps us in the grip of stress, fear, anxiety, and reactive impulse, addictions, and resistance to change. Now, an exciting revolution can enable people to live from their largely unused higher brain, the prefrontal cortex, the creative, expansive, confident, healthy, problem-solving, and change-adapting part of our physiology. As we're speaking with Dr. Cotton today, here are a few things that he's going to be sharing. First, how you can shift from your flight/fight lower brain to your expansive, stress-free, empowered, and enlightened higher brain. Also, we'll talk about how the lower brain resists change and the higher brain actually enables change. And finally, how to achieve more clarity, purpose, joy, and a higher level of mental processing. Just to share a little bit about Dr. Cotton, with more than 30 years as a leading authority in personal and cultural transformation, Dr. Michael Cotton is a leading evolutionary theorist and the founder of Higher Brain Living. Michael has a doctoral degree in chiropractic and is the creator of the revolutionary new Higher Brain Living technique, which helps shift energy into the prefrontal cortex, awakening human potential for a lifetime of lasting joy, purpose, and potential. And I've heard wonderful things about Dr. Michael Cotton's work, and you can learn more about it by going to higherbrainliving.com. Again, higherbrainliving.com. Dr. Cotton, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you here today. How are you?
Well, thank you, Crystalia. I am fantastic, and I am excited to be here.
Oh, well, let's jump right in this. You have so much information to share, and I just love to talk about this. So what is Higher Brain Living first, so our listeners get a feel for that?
Well, let me provide just a brief bit of context first. You alluded to this in some of the opening of the bio, but we humans have a higher untapped part of our brain. There's potential in the higher centers of our brain that appear to have evolved from a evolutionary perspective, but are not fully functional. And so this part of our brain, and hopefully we can get some more details around this, but this part of the brain is the part of the brain that does allow us to thrive, to create more joy, more meaning in our life, more purpose in our life. And it basically is locked out by these kind of habituated, primitive, lower brain strategies trying to keep our lives the same. And so Higher Brain Living is a 22-step program that trained and certified Higher Brain Living facilitators to pathways in the human body. Very gentle touch into these very specific pathways in the right sequence in a very specific protocol creates a release of energy that moves into the higher brain and starts to wake up more of that higher brain potential. Mm-hmm. And so, and as that potential starts to wake up through this program, there's a Higher Brain Living guidebook that is a step-by-step process that helps the recipients bring that higher brain energy, that empowered higher brain state, to all areas of their life, to be able to really create true and lasting change in their life. And so that's kind of it in a nutshell, and however you want to go from here to talk about some of the details of that, let's do it.
Okay. So would you call it a healing modality, a therapy? What exactly would you call it?
Well, I do not call it either one of those. In fact, what we call it is a personal transformation work, or personal growth or self-development process. I like the word personal transformation because the changes through this are really, they are just that. They're transformative. They're not just kind of, you know, getting more comfortable in your life wherever you are. It's really the creation of a new life. And finding your purpose and finding your passion, being able to live that way. But what I must say, Cristoia, is that healing is a very consistent, what I would say, byproduct of going through this program. So it's not that people don't have amazing healing experiences, because they absolutely do. It's just, to me, it's even so much bigger than that.
Okay. And I have to be naughty and ask this question. How is it different than network chiropractic? Can I ask that?
Well, of course, it's completely different. In fact, the only commonalities in any way would be that there is a response in the body when you apply our higher brain living protocol that appears to be a very organic way that the body moves energy through it. And so with network chiropractic, there's a similar looking response at times in the body, meaning waves of energy moving in the body. This same response also shows up in a variety of different techniques, although somewhat sporadically. In fact, I found research several dozen techniques that produce a movement of energy in the body. Mm-hmm. And so the only really commonalities would be that there is touch applied to the body, and there's a wave of energy that moves in the body. Other than that, they're really nothing alike from application or expectation or outcome or any of that.
Okay. So you've talked a couple times about this response in the body. So would you share a bit more about what is that wild response that we see in these sessions?
It is wild, isn't it? It's actually why most of the time when I do all of the time when I do live presentations, we actually show demonstrations, because it's hard to describe without seeing it, and it's mind-boggling. And so here's what's going on. So we already kind of understand that there's an untapped part of our brain, an untapped part of the human brain, latent potential. But what we also know, I know you know, and I'm sure many of, if not most of your listeners know, there's also an untapped energy source in the body. This has been referred to through hundreds of different disciplines, through thousands of years, as everything from chi or prana or ki or kundalini or subtle energy, right? We've heard these terms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the point is that all of these different disciplines through all of these different parts of the world throughout history have found that there's a latent energy source in the body. And we can even talk about what modern science is now saying about this if you want to at some point. But what Higher Brain Living has done, and we also know that energy source is associated with pathways in the body, right? These have been called meridians or nadi points in yoga, or the Kabbalists have names for them. They all look at them differently. But there's a common feature, and that is that there's certain pathways in the body that are associated with this latent energy source. Well, what I believe is that this energy source really was evolved as, was created as, whatever your belief is, that energy source is really designed to fuel the brain. And that higher part of the brain is not getting energy, and that energy source can connect to that higher part of the brain and in effect start to wake it up. And so we've developed a protocol through this gentle touch. It's like we've cracked a code around that. And when we apply these touches into these pathways in just the right way, that energy is mobilized or released in a way that it moves into the higher brain. Now, here's where it gets interesting. This is a gentle movement of energy. The client will feel it just gently moving in their body. But that untapped part of the brain is just inordinate amounts of latent potential in us. So when it starts to be nudged awake, it starts to come online, and your own higher brain, the person receiving this, their higher brain, feels itself start to wake up. And it wants to then be able to bring more energy up to itself. And so it creates, it has a mechanism dormant in there that's a feedback mechanism that it, that your own brain will start to pump what feels like breath moving through your body. And it's the most amazing feeling of breath because it feels more like you're being breathed, not like you're taking a breath. It's spontaneous. It's not you doing it. And it feels like every cell in your body is starting to breathe, and it's cycling through in this rhythmical feedback response. And that is pumping more energy up to that higher brain, and that higher brain is continuing to wake up more and more and more. And also what will happen is that larger movement of energy or wave-like movement of energy starts to release stress or starts to release that lower brain junk so that those pathways can open up and more energy can build in that higher brain as that breath pump or feedback mechanism is cycling through the body. So when you see it, what you see is the external movement of the body as this is actually happening inside.
Okay. And that's all involuntary, basically. Am I understanding that correctly?
It's 100% involuntary. In fact, there's no way to even be able to make yourself breathe or move energy, at least not that I know of, to breathe or move energy through your body in that way. It is really a remarkable feeling. I mean, it does feel like there's breath moving in your body from head to toe, like everything in your body is breathing itself. And it's an organic feedback mechanism that's inside of us. But again, it's that untapped potential that's part of that whole higher brain mechanism. And so when that starts to wake up, it starts to want more. And it is completely involuntary. However, you can stop the experience. You know, if you're receiving a session and you didn't want it to happen, you could make it stop. But you would never do that because it feels, it's really natural and really awesome when it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. And somebody that's already at the session, they came there for a purpose, right? Why would they stop it at that point?
Yeah, right, absolutely. But just the point right. with that is that it's not like something takes you over and you're out of control and, you know, you're in complete control. You're just not making it happen. You just feel it happen and let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Dr. Cotton, we're going to take a really quick, brief station break. We're going to be right back.
Great.
So I'm talking with Dr. Michael Cotton today about the Higher Brain Living Technique, and you can learn more about this and some of the upcoming events and so on by visiting higherbrainliving.com. Again, higherbrainliving.com. So, Dr. Cotton, your energy is so great. It's so powerful here. So I got to ask this question.
Sure.
How many people are so stressed out today and they don't really know what their life purpose is and so on? Can this really help them find their life purpose and get rid of some of this stress?
Oh, you better believe it. In fact, if I had, you know, I'm commonly asked, well, what are the benefits of this, right? And
mm-hmm.
and I used to have a challenge with that because it really, I believe the missing link in all self-development and often even healing is being able to get energy into the higher brain. So energizing the higher brain and then bringing that to whatever one wants to change in one's life is the real key. And so the dissipation of stress is a hallmark of this process. I mean, that happens very early on. People feel that stress coming out on their very first session.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is get energy into the part of the brain where we can self-actualize, where we can authenticate. We're able to get past the complexity of life and not have to deal with the day-to-day struggle. And so my point is that the fundamental thing I think this process is about is really about people being able to discover who they really are on the deepest level, what their purpose is, and to be able to live what I call a fearlessly authentic life.
Okay. And for someone to get to that level, is there some kind of protocol, like a length of time, number of visits they have to do? Can you give some idea how this all works as far as a person coming to you?
Absolutely. It happens. And I might add that there are about 240 trained and certified facilitators across the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And they also offer the ability to see demonstrations and their practices, and sometimes the ability to experience the first couple steps, because it is a 22-step program.
Okay.
And so each of those steps includes a 45-minute-long session with the trained certified facilitator. And so they're cueing these pathways over that period of time. Your brain is learning how to then generate its own feedback response, increase energy into itself. And with each of these sessions, that center of gravity is shifting more out of the lower brain and more into the higher brain. But that's really just the beginning, because what accompanies each of the sessions with the facilitator is a step in your higher brain living guidebook. And that's a particular application of that higher brain energy and of that empowered state to your life. So you're able to basically take that energy, discover what you want to change in your life, bring that energy to those areas, make the change in your life, eliminate the hot spots of your life, so you free yourself up to really discover that deepest purpose within you, and then this program helps you even live from that place. So just to try to make that more concise, one part of this as you go through it is just helping shift the physiology, right? Changing the brain to get energy into the part of it that's the empowered part of it that is able to create change. But simultaneously, we're in a very exquisite way learning to apply that energy to all of our own unique life challenges or areas we want to change or grow in.
Okay. Now, if somebody visits one of your certified practitioners, I guess you'd call them, would they be able to go through all 22 steps, or did I misunderstand something?
Oh, no, they would and they should. That's kind of the baseline protocol. It's once a week for a period of approximately 22 weeks. So they're getting weekly sessions with the facilitator and then applying that to their life through the flow that's in their higher brain living guidebook. It's also part of that program that they go through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we're talking about this higher brain thing, and I have to ask, why would we have the higher brain and we haven't been using it? That seems odd to me.
Yeah, it is odd, isn't it? And it's a wonderful question. And this is what it looks like has happened. Let me just give you a quote from the philosopher Plotinus. Okay, Plotinus, many many centuries ago, said mankind is poised midway between the gods and the beasts.
Okay.
And from a modern neuroscientific perspective, that's kind of exactly what's happening. The beast being this lower primitive part of our brain. And understand that the brain evolved in time in layers. And so we have this old primitive part of it that's designed to keep us alive. It's survival based. It's fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
Fight or flight. It's very primitive. But then we have a layer of a newer mammalian layer and a cortex where we do all our thinking in. And the most recent emergence in time is this prefrontal cortex. And so what's happened is that it, through evolution, remember, it's not a perfect process, right? It happens in fits and starts. It sometimes
mm-hmm.
completely erases its mistakes and start over. And
right.
So the fact that the anatomy is there, that we've emerged this structure, does not guarantee that it becomes fully functional or that we figure out how to use it. Such as birds in history that have developed wings but possibly didn't learn how to take flight, they go the wrong way, right? And so
right.
this capacity in this brain is there, the raw material, let's say it like that, the raw material is there. But we have not developed the pathways. We have not molded that in a way that we're able to apply it in our life. And so the key reason for that, why is it there but not utilized, is that the oppressive power of that lower brain is just has its grip in us, and we have not been able to turn it off long enough to get energy into the higher brain because the lower brain was never made to deal with the complexities of the modern world. And so all it knows is how to protect you. And it thinks everything in your environment is a tiger. That's what it's designed to do, keep you from being eaten by tigers. And so all of the demands of our modern life simply keep that lower brain in a state of trying to protect you. And that is at the expense of that energy going to the higher brain where you can become free of that and thrive.
Right, right. So what are some of the common outcomes for people who turn on this higher brain with your technique?
Oh, well, improving their relationships, deepening their relationships, having greater levels of understanding, being able to one of the first things that shows up for most people is a surge of self-confidence, that they start to feel they're good enough, that they're worthy enough, that they deserve more in their life. They will then take that and start creating new careers, starting their own business, deciding to go back to school, whatever is in their soul, whatever is their calling, they may decide to become an artist and be able to apply that. We see things on the healing domain where it's common to see people report their depression going away or their anxiety going away or they're no longer stressed. But again, to me, the single biggest thing is that people discover their purpose and they power themselves up in a way that they can live that purpose or that fearlessly authentic life.
Wow, that sounds really great. So I'm curious about, does this also affect our community and the people? I mean, if I get a treatment, am I affecting the people around me and the community? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes. In fact, that we know now that, you know, we don't end at our skin, right? This is kind of a hard scientific fact that the resonance coming from your heart, the resonance coming from your brain, the resonance coming from your whole being has an impact on people at a distance. And it used to sound kind of kooky to talk about it years ago, but there's so much science for it now that we can even say it in the mainstream, right? That we know that these upgrades in one person's system has an impact on another person's system. And so as we are getting more energy into our brain, and we are starting to live from new ways, that doesn't just change us, it changes those around us. And so there's a really big vision in all of this for me, from this higher brain living, is that if a significant minority really is able to upgrade their brains in this way and create new ways to live in the world, we basically created a new consciousness and new brain function, that there's ultimately a tipping point where we create a new culture. And this has actually happened in history before. We've gone through several major shifts or epochs in consciousness and culture. Mm-hmm. And what I'm strongly suggesting is that the key to this next one is being able to get energy into that part of the brain that correlates with this next stage of consciousness and culture.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful. So would you share with our listeners a little bit about why you're so passionate about sharing this whole higher brain living?
Well, yeah, I think that whole point of a significant minority creating a tipping point that can resonate through and ultimately create widespread social change, that's really what's driving me. I mean, people come into this, whether they're coming in to learn to be trained or just coming in to be a client with a facilitator, they come into it for all of their own reasons. Some of them just want to help people, you know, and that's awesome. But but for me, the big picture in this is that we are, and you know this, we are at a critical point, I believe, in the direction of our species. And the solution to all of our problems is to move up to a higher stage of consciousness and culture, which also correlates with this higher level of brain function. As Einstein famously said, you can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created the problem. And so our species has to grow beyond where we've been, and we're, I think, on the verge of what could be a just a glorious blossoming into this new way to be in the world. And I think that I have positioned higher brain living to be a vehicle that kind of helps usher in this next emergence.
Right, right. And I love what you're doing. I think this is so powerful, this work. How do people find out about becoming a higher brain living client?
Our website, higherbrainliving.com, mm-hmm. has a link that says exactly that, become a client or find a facilitator.
Okay.
And if you click that find a facilitator, that's actually what we refer to the practitioners. We call them higher brain living facilitators.
Okay.
So if you click that find a facilitator link on our toolbar of our website, you will be taken to a list of the active higher brain living facilitators that are in the U.S.
Okay.
And you can then locate which one you want, and you can find their website and their information and when they host their presentations or when you can go see a demonstration or talk to them or any of that.
Right. And do you have any upcoming events in the next 6 months that are a place for people to find out what upcoming events are coming up?
Yes, and those particular events on our website are events that are either done by me, myself, or a national presenter. And what we do at those live events is not only introduce you to higher brain living and also show you live demonstrations, but you also can learn about our training models if you decide you also want to be certified and trained yourself to be able to provide this work for humanity. And so, again, on the same website, higherbrainliving.com, this time you go to attend an event. And then you just scroll down, and you'll see a list of upcoming presentations that you can click on that link and get details. There's about 6 or 7 of them upcoming in the next few months across the U.S.
Okay, great. Well, we are out of time, Dr. Cotton, and I'm going to remind our listeners, be sure to go visit Dr. Cotton's website at higherbrainliving.com. Again, higherbrainliving.com. Dr. Cotton, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, welcome, everyone. This is Chris Dahlia, and I am really excited to be here with all of you and can't wait to introduce you to my special guest, Debbie Takara Sheeler, who will be talking about how when you can tap into your own magnificence, align with the divine, and stay in perpetual flow with the universe, miraculous things can happen. Here's just a few of the things you can expect to learn during our time together with Takara. First of all, how to achieve significantly less stress, receive clear inner guidance, and how to flow with life instead of against it. Today, we are joined by best-selling author, engineer, speaker, and consultant, Debbie Takara Sheeler, who will be sharing with us ways to lead a magnificent life. Takara will teach us how to go from stress-filled, chaotic existence to one of flowing with the universe and much more easily achieving our dreams. She is the living embodiment of her teaching, having manifested numerous miracles in her own life and helping many others achieve their own. To learn more about Debbie Takara Sheeler, you can visit Magnificent U, and it's just a letter U, so MAGNIFICENTU, just the letter U, .com. And if you click on the top button that says free gift, she's giving you a free starter kit that's loaded with all kinds of goodies. So welcome to the show, Takara. I am really excited to have you here today.
Well, Cristalia, it's wonderful to be here. I look forward to our time together.
Well, you know, I find it fascinating. You were once an engineer and a manager in a pharmaceutical company. I'm curious, how did you get interested in spirituality and metaphysics?
I was under way too much stress. You know, when you're in that position, first of all, I was the only female manager in the whole manufacturing facility. So, you know, I'm competing with men. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm a frontline supervisor. And I cared so much about the people. You know, I didn't want to give them instructions that made their life hard. And, I mean, I was just like a caring, over-caring mother kind of energy. And it was just so stressful for me. I cared a lot about everything and everyone. And I just wasn't cut out for the sort of it's all about the bottom line and the money kind of mentality that was required in that environment. And one day I finally just literally hit the wall and woke up remembering that I'd been raped many years before. And just it sort of cascaded into a giant opening into who am I and what am I about. And I started becoming aware of a lot of areas in life that I wasn't aware of, like metaphysics and eating right, and just it was an opening. It was a huge, huge gateway to transformation for me.
Wow, so you go. Wow, so you've had a lot of different things happening. When actually did you start leading this more magnificent life here?
I mean, it's been about 20 years now.
Okay.
I joke around and I say that for 20 years, I pursued the great American dream, you know, first academically and then in the corporate world. And for the past 20 years, I've looked at the whole other world of metaphysics and spirituality. And so I've now come back into balance, having sort of spent 20 years in each. You know, now I'm getting into more of an integrated space.
I love it. So you've experienced, as I said in your intro, many miracles in your life. Can you tell us about one of the most dramatic ones?
One of the most dramatic ones, one of the ones that I just love to tell the story about, is a divorce in New Mexico that's supposed to take 51 days took me exactly 1 hour and 15 minutes. I mean, that is just the coolest miracle ever.
Wow.
You know, yeah, it's very dramatic, you know, that's why it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, my husband and I had grown apart, things had shifted for us. What started out fabulous in the beginning had really, we'd gone two different ways, and it was time for each of us to transition into a newer place within our own lives. And so we jointly decided it was time to end this marriage and move on. And it was all done very harmoniously, but I absolutely knew, for whatever reason, I just had this inner knowing that I absolutely had to file the papers on a particular day.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those internal knowings. And so I insisted, and he went along with me with that. And so when I went to file the papers at the courthouse, the person that it spit out, when the guy put all the stuff in the computer, it spit out a name. And the name it spit out wasn't there that day. So the guy says to me, he wrote down on a little piece of paper names of other judges, and he said, you need to go upstairs and just see if one of these other judges will help you. And I'm like, you want me to wander the halls of the courthouse to find a judge? I mean, it was so surreal and weird because I just don't deal in that environment at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, okay, whatever. So I go upstairs. And I go in the ladies' room, and I get out my pendulum, and I douse which one of them I should go to. It was just too funny, you know? Anyway, so I got a name for someone I should go to,
mm-hmm.
and I go into their office, and I talk to their, I don't know, secretary, I don't know their title, but, you know, the lady who works with the person,
mm-hmm.
and she puts all these little tags on my paperwork, and then she says, you know, my judge is not in right now. Maybe you should go over across the way to this other judge, and maybe they can help you. But if they can't, you can come back here. And I thought, oh, no. You know, dowsing said to go here. So I had it was a decision point. I could either stick with what I got initially, or I could say, okay, sometimes you just have to follow the breadcrumbs. And I felt like this was a pretty strong breadcrumb, so I decided to go talk to the other judge. So I walk in that office. And when I walked in, I was looking at my watch going, you know, the meter's about to run out. And downtown Santa Fe, it's really pricey if your meter runs out. So I gave the paperwork to the secretary, and then I went downstairs, put more money in my meter. I came back up, and she handed me the papers. And she said, you need to go talk to the cashier. And I thought, well, and then what? That's what I asked her. I said, and then what? And she said, well, and then you're divorced. I was like, what? While I was gone, it was all done. It got signed. It was over already.
Wow.
And, you know, they just published something in the major newspaper that said it took 51 days to do a self, you know, whatever, divorce. And so I was just like, I mean, I even tell lawyers this, and they go, that's not possible. I'm like, well, I did it. So that's the kind of miracle I'm talking about.
I love this. That's amazing how quick that could happen. Do you have one that you want to share that was the most fun?
The most fun by far was getting to live on a $1 million yacht in Fiji in the South Pacific. That was the coolest thing ever. But see, here's the thing about all of these. I have amazing stories, right? But the bottom line of it is it's about fine-tuning your intuition so you are absolutely, positively clear. And when those little promptings happen, I mean, the slightest little flint of an idea passes through your brain, you have to take action. You know, that's why these miracles happen for me. So this story is, I was thinking about this guy that I knew when I lived in the San Juan Islands. Those are off Washington State. He was a really fabulous photographer that took pictures of the orcas that live up there. Mm-hmm. And it just, his name crossed my mind, and I thought, wow, it's been years since I've seen him. I wonder if he ever became more famous, you know? Did people on the mainland, not just off on the little islands, know who he was, but, you know, had he become more famous globally? Mm-hmm. And so I did a search on Google and discovered that he had a Facebook page. Well, I live on Facebook. So I went on there, and I found this guy. And, you know, read a few things about him, and then I forgot about it. But then a few days later, it occurred to me that, you know, I used to live on this little island where this guy lives, and I bet there's other people that I know that are in his friends list. So I decided to go searching through his friends list on Facebook, and I looked through names, and I saw some people that I recognized, and then all of a sudden I came across this name. And I just busted out into a huge smile. This guy, Brian, and I had been quite good friends when we lived on the island. And he was the port commissioner, and he used to call me in the evening sometimes and go, you know, how would you like to go to dinner? And I'd say, sure. And I would meet him at the dock, and we'd get on a boat, and he would drive me by boat to another island, and we'd have dinner. And it was just, it was so much fun. Mm-hmm. So I found him. I contacted him, and he was in Puerto Vallarta about to go circumnavigating around the globe in his own yacht, which had been his lifelong dream. And we started talking, and he kept inviting me. So he invited me to Puerto Vallarta, and I was like, yeah, I don't think so. And then as he crossed the ocean, you know, he's inviting me to come to Tahiti and Bora Bora and all these places he was visiting. But when he started talking about Fiji, I just knew within myself, every part of me said it was the thing to do. So I wrote him back and I said, well, you know, I'd love to come and I have a kid. And he goes, bring the kid. So my son and I got on a plane, flew to Fiji, and we lived on his boat for 6 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And that is just because when I thought of somebody random,
right,
I took the time to go there and do something with the thought. So
right. That's
kind of the underlying message of all of that is really pay attention.
Right, for sure. So mm-hmm. Do you think every one of us can lead a more magnificent life and experience miracles like you're experiencing?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't guarantee that everybody's going to get a trip to, you know, Fiji, but I do believe that absolutely, absolutely everyone can grow personally and spiritually, become more clear, and enhance their intuition. It's innate. It's part of who we are. We just We just turn it off. So, yes, my answer is an absolute resounding yes.
So there's these four states of being that that you're saying we must achieve and maintain at all times. Can you tell our listeners what those four states of being are?
Yes. The four states of being, they're easy to remember because they all start with the letter C. These are what I call the noble C's.
Okay.
And they are to be calm, to be clear, to be confident, and to be connected. So calm just means in a centered, balanced state. Clear means physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in a pristine state of clarity, which is an ongoing thing that one must work on constantly. Okay? Confident,
right.
We all know life bashes us about, and we really need to work on our self-confidence. And sometimes that requires assistance, you know, with a coach or a healer or whoever. Sometimes we can't heal the past very well all on our own. And then connected, I'm talking about to your own higher self, to your own divinity. When you have those four things in place, you are practically unstoppable. There's only one more noble C, and that one is one I can't really teach people. I can inspire it within them, but it really has to come up from within, and that's the C called courage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the courage to, I say, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Right.
Because if you only do what you're comfortable with, you'll never grow and you'll never, ever achieve those things you want to achieve. So,
how
courage
true
is
that
required.
Is. Yeah, how true that is. So, I'm curious, what is it you think is wrong with most self-help and spirituality programs today?
Well, I think with a lot of programs, whether spirituality is involved or not, most things are only addressing the mind,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, the conscious mind is, you know, less than 20% of what's really going on. And so just people get amped up emotionally. They get excited. They get motivated. But that's not a lasting long-term change. That's just hype in the moment.
Right.
And 3 months from now, 6 months from now, their life hasn't changed at all. They just become, you know, workshop junkies because they go there, they hang out with like-minded people, they have a good time, they get uplifted in the moment. That sustains them for a little while, but then they fall back down to their old habits. So I believe what's necessary is that every workshop, every experience has to involve real change, real fundamental shifting at an energetic level, at a mental, emotional level, sometimes even at a physical level. There have to be changes that have to occur, and there has to be follow-up. And those are the things that I think are missing in practically everything out there.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. I've seen plenty of programs out
right.
there.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. So
right.
What are the five practices that you encourage everyone to do in order to achieve this magnificence and these miracles?
I have these five are things that I recommend. The first one is meditation, something I think that everyone should be doing every single day. Time in nature and in silence, those are the same thing. Time in nature, but in silence while you're there. Talking on the cell phone or to your best friend as you're walking through nature or sitting in nature is not the same as truly communing with it. The third one is dowsing. I believe that dowsing is the single most effective tool to fine-tune intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Some form of movement, number four. A kind of exercise or movement that opens up the energy channels in the body and gets the chi moving, the energy moving, like yoga or tai chi or something like that. And the final one is to work with vibrational tools that help to clear and amplify and raise up a person vibrationally so that they can see their issues, they can heal them faster, and they can move out of whatever state they're in to the state higher than that. And I call it jumping octaves, but where you can, it's like it lifts you up so you can see more clearly and stand until you can eventually stand on your own. That's what those tools help you do. So those are the five things I really encourage.
Mm-hmm. And what are the benefits that people can expect if they do apply those five?
Well, when you apply those five things, those four states of being, being calm, clear, confident, and connected, just begin to fall in line and you have them. The idea is to be in those states, be calm, clear, confident, and connected all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are, intuition is there. You're connected. You're in flow. You notice the signs. All these wonderful things begin to happen, and it's all because you're in tune with your intuition and you're in tune with the universe.
Beautifully said. So, how can a person know when they're in the flow, though? I mean, I hear people always saying, well, I can't trust my intuition and all of that. So how can they kind of learn to trust their intuition and be in that flow?
Learning to trust intuition is it's sort of a faith thing. It's like trusting. You have to take little trust steps to convince you that it knows what it's doing so that you can then take large steps. You know what I mean? Like, you don't jump on a plane to Fiji. You know, that's not like step one. That's like step 37 or something.
Oh, darn.
I know. But it's just like, you know, if you have a little inner prompting, it'll say call a certain friend. So you call a certain friend. And if you have a conversation, something usually comes out of that. It's just taking the actions, baby steps. It's just about baby steps. But the more you work with energy, the more you meditate, the more clear you become. Dowsing is very, very helpful for getting clear. The more you'll know and the more your intuition is fine-tuned. The thing that people tend to have trouble the most with, I believe, is people who are clairaudient. When they're hearing a voice, it's not necessarily the voice of their higher self. And that is just a bit of they need to get higher vibration, working with energy tools, and they need to get more clear. That's kind of the tricky one.
And so when they're listening to this intuition and not letting that other voice kind of get in there,
right.
Does that mean that they're then in that flow?
They're in. You know you're in flow when things are easy, and you know you're out of flow when they're not. So if you get a great parking place, that's kind of my indicator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm at a grocery store where there's all these lines of people waiting, and you're like stuck at the back of the line, and all of a sudden they open up a new cashier line opens, and you're the first one there, that's how I know I'm in flow.
Right.
If I can get a great parking place right in front of the place, if that's what I want. Sometimes I choose the farthest one away just to get some exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if
right.
if I want a great parking place, if I get one, I know I'm in flow. The gap between your desire and when it arrives is how much in tune you are.
Oh, I like that. That's a great way to measure.
Right. How fast are you manifesting? How big is that gap? What is the delay? Now, they don't all come right away because some of them are huge and they take a lot of orchestration on your part and the universe's part, right? But
mm-hmm.
something very simple, when you're clear about it and you state it out loud or you write it down or however you let the universe know, that's a whole other teaching. But the faster it occurs, that's your indicator of where you are with the flow.
So do you want to tell us how you let the universe know what it is you're expecting?
I do everything. I do all three.
Okay.
I say it. I write it down once. I say it out loud, and I feel in my body what it feels like to have it, and I let it go, and I'm done.
Okay.
That's what I do.
That's great. I love that practice. Go ahead.
What I tell people is whatever you have as your sixth sense, that's your natural sixth sense, that's the one you should use to communicate to the universe because that's the way the universe communicates with you. So if you're clairaudient, you say it out loud. If you're clairvoyant, you get a really clear picture of it. If you're clairsentient like I am, you feel it. You have to feel it. If you don't feel it, it's never going to happen.
Right. And I think your last step of letting it go is just as critical. I think so often we keep you know, we keep like rehashing it, like we're in fear almost that it's not going to happen, and we keep redoing the steps. It's like when you surrender, that's a huge part of it. It's at least that's what I've found.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you talked about having a lot of stress in your career at before you learned this metaphysical stuff and shifted your life. How do you stay calm under pressure nowadays?
Well, I've been meditating for 20 years. You know, I could be in a hurricane. Actually, I have. I've been in a hurricane, and I'm still calm. Like, I began with Stuart Wild as my first spiritual teacher, which is kind of a crazy wild thing because it's pretty out there, the metaphysical stuff with him. But he had this theta meditation that I used to do all the time, and now I can literally drop into theta at any time I want to, even in the middle of a crisis. And when you are in theta brainwave pattern, you disconnect completely from your emotions. You just are in this really just like a calm lake all the time when you need to be. And when you can be in that state, then you can think clearly, you're not freaked out, your emotions are over there somewhere. It's like you shove them aside, you drop your brain waves down, and you just go into your heart space and you stay calm, and it's like warrior stance, you know?
I love it, warrior stance.
Yeah.
So if someone's just starting to learn meditation, what method do you recommend for them?
Well, the perfect answer, I believe, first of all, I wrote a whole book about it. So I have all the different methods of meditation. I won't say all of them, but I have a whole lot of different meditation methods that I talk about. But the thing that I recommend for people just getting started is a guided meditation where all you have to do is turn it on and you close your eyes and you follow along to whatever they're telling you to do. I mean, that takes all the pressure off.
Right.
Just follow along. It's really easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That totally makes sense to me. That
Right.
makes it simple, and people don't have to get all – so we get all mm-hmm. hung up on how to meditate. And, you
right.
know, oh, we got to quiet our mind and our monkey mind going a mile a minute. So guided
yep.
meditation. Okay.
Right.
So, Takara, I can't believe how much we covered in this quick little time together. You're amazing how much you've just shared, actually, in 25 minutes here. Would you share a final thought with our listeners? What is it, the essence of what you'd really love to share as a final thing with our listeners?
All we're trying to do, all of us, no matter what we're focused on, we're trying to figure out and remember who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get back to the divine spark that we are inside and be able to express that outside. And so the methods we use don't really matter. It's that we're trying to get back into the truth of ourselves
mm-hmm.
and to remember that we truly are magnificent beings.
Oh, beautifully said. And you mentioned you have a book. Would you tell the listeners what the name of your book is?
Okay, I have several books, but I have a couple of bestsellers. My number one bestseller is actually a collaboration that I led called Dolphins and Whales Forever. And it's about communing and communicating and getting very, very connected to dolphin and whale consciousness. Powerful book. It's a really mm-hmm. powerful book. But that was, you know, I led the thing and I contributed one chapter. So that's not all my work. It's a
mm-hmm.
lot of people's work. My book that's a bestseller is called Peering Through the Veil. And it contains all kinds of ways to meditate and why you'd want to. And it also has tons of my personal stories with a lot of these motivational kinds of, you know, crazy jump on a boat to, you know, plane to Fiji kind of stories in there that are very entertaining and people seem to get a lot out of it.
Well, great. So, Takara, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm sure my listeners really will enjoy your inspiration, and you're so upbeat. It's wonderful. I love your energy. And for the listeners, be sure to go check out those free gifts that Takara has for you at Magnificent, that's MAGNIFICENT, and the letter U, so magnificentu.com. And then in the top part of the page, look for the free gift button to claim that free starter kit. Again, Takara, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been delightful.